This is part two. Have fun.
I don't study I heard a few years ago. I've never read it. Just people told me about it. And the University of Nottingham did also a research once on which music helps that some specific beer is recepted better or not by not trained testers, normal people. And they were playing in the cabins, always serving the same beer, you know, same batch, same beer. So no difference in the age of the beer, whatever, but with different kind of music. And so they want to see it. So which music makes the people that a beer tastes better or not? Yeah. And also no music. Yeah. So a very, I would say, pub-related scientific research work. But
in the end, it comes down to real life, right?
Yeah, it comes down to real life. And indie pop was the most, or the best music, or where the beer tastes the best. I guess it's more a regional cultural thing that in Great Britain, indie pop, where this kind of music is very well received. I guess here in Bavaria, it would be some kind of humper music. It was like some kind of music you have in the beer tent and then the beer tastes better.
Probably.
But I guess it's also a cultural background.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay. Try to go back to your daily work. Part of the daily or weekly work is not only having the Tuesday tastings, having your personal PhD work, or supporting the other research projects with your laboratory and your testers and your panel to find out what is going on in the other projects. Also, a weekly panel you have together with our brewmasters, right?
Exactly. So that's also one of my, maybe not my favorite, but my second favorite appointment at the week is having this half an hour to 1 hour tasting with all the brewmasters, with the quality your lady, and we try to cover about 10 beers. So 1 week we do the bottom fermented ones. Next week we do top fermented beers, and we try to really analyze all the batches from the last few weeks, let's say some 4 weeks maximum.
Okay, so and then you're sitting down and you're tasting them based on the specific tasting scheme, or how do you do it?
Usually we have what we use is a DLG scheme. So that's
the German Agricultural Society.
Exactly.
The beer tasting scheme.
So that's a quality oriented scheme where we have the categories smell, taste, mouthfeel, palatefulness as one. Recence, which is freshness,
sparklingness.
And bitterness. Mm-hmm. And usually this scheme is used to cover one really broad beer style, for example, bottom ferment lager. But what we do in this case is we don't have the lager as a whole beer style as a goal, but only the Weinstefano Original Hell.
So for an example, it's not like maybe in a beer competition tasting where you're having like a description how a Pilsner or a German Lager or whatever should taste like, where you have like some kind of parameters on color and bitterness and sparklingness and whatever, how this style should taste like. So your kind of ideal or beer to describe it is the original premium. So there is the
benchmark
beer,
probably,
that's the benchmark then. Yeah. So you're not trying to compare it to other kinds of that style. It's the own style, which is the benchmark, and so that all the Weinstefan beers stay in the line, right?
Yeah. So every specific product has its own specifications, sensory specifications in that case. And you might think of what you just said is just narrowing all the possible specifications, narrowing down to this really specific product you have in mind. And then we're able to say, okay, when we think about the Pilsner from before, Bitterness here is too low. Maybe the quality of the bitterness is not as usually as pleasant as we have it, but it's a bit broad or it's lingering, and that's what we are trained and work with.
Yeah. Do you always have like one perfect pilsner there to kind of cross taste it, like to have the benchmark right there, or is it just you have the scheme pilsner and you do it from that thing on?
Yeah, like you said, that would be the absolute perfect way to have it, to freeze that perfect product, but that's not really able because you have evidently you have process variations, raw material variations,
and also some variables you can't.
That's unavoidable. Also, in my daily basis, that's just what you have to face because it's not a living organism, but it's a food product that changes over time.
Also, changing testers, not always the same group, right?
Yeah, but that's one variable we try to really, diminish.
Okay. So
variation in the tasters.
Okay. So the panel is changing from time to time.
Yes, but also dependent on the question what we have. So we have, of course, I have colleagues that are focused on different beer styles. For example, alcohol-free beer. So we have several people working specifically on that. And what I try to is that I get those people in the tastings as kind of experts, since they know the product best.
Very well, yeah. Like Martina, we had also on the podcast here talking about non-alcoholic beers. And yeah, that's very interesting. And that's actually for us a big advantage that we're so close. Actually, I guess your lab is like about 150 meters away from the brewmaster's office. Oh, yeah. So I guess that's one
but
of
still
the...
Still, they manage to come late all the time.
Seriously?
Most of the time. Yeah.
We have to tell them. Yeah, we have totally to tell them.
Total great information right now. but that's some advantage. You kind of cannot copy paste anywhere in the world. I mean, we're having your institute and your work group there with the whole infrastructure, and then the brewery kind of next door to it. We are actually at home in the same institution with the Ministry for Science and Culture here in Bavaria. So I guess Absolutely. Your boss is our boss with the Secretary of Science of Bavaria. And so I guess this cooperation helps us a lot to keep the high quality and the taste of the wines and beers maintenance, so that we can say not just that the quality is top notch, also that the beer tastes the same. And I guess this is what you just explained is the goal of those tastings, that we try to keep our Weinstein and beers in line, that we keep our characteristics. We don't want to make an all-day wheat beer, so we want to have our specific characteristics, our balance between the cloves aroma, between the banana, cloves, creaminess, sparklingness, and those characteristics and specs should be matched with every batch. And that's what you and your panel and our brewers try to match there in the tastings.
Exactly. So you want to have the highest continuity and stability. You want
Continuity is our one of our most important goals we have, especially we are such an export-oriented brewery where we are having our wheat beers from Brisbane to Seattle. Continuity is key, absolutely, yeah, because people rely on our taste and quality, and they should do that. And when you're listening to this, this is one of the tools we have to keep that taste like you are expecting it and rely it.
This is also part of the experience to have a Bavarian beer, and it's not only the case with our brewery. Of course, we're talking about Wein Stefan here, but to have the beer taste almost the same in Bavaria and in America, for example, that is the task that everybody's working on. And I think that's where the continuity comes in. And so, like you said, like both of you said, that's the most important thing you can focus on.
Yeah, and that's absolutely great. I mean, I drink right now a crystal here, and one of my most favorite crystals, because it was such a great experience, was in Seattle, actually, with Megan, the sales rep of our importer in the United States, and we had some few great days in Seattle. And people in Seattle love our crystal. So the crystal is more popular there than actually the Hefe Weissbier. And we were at some few locations where it was really amazing and had great time there with great people. And so every time I now drink the crystal, I'm always thinking back about Seattle and that the crystal wheat beer was tasting there perfectly the same like he and Van Stefan. And and thanks to you and your team and our brewmasters, we can maintenance that kind of quality. And you just right now explained us how the Van Stefan Brewery tastings look like. But there are also a lot of other tasting and testing schemes also the Institute develops. So there are some international schemes like the Kaltner scheme for tasting Pilsners, for wheat beers, which is also very important for our brewery from Sacha, mm-hmm. Also all developed there, and standard schemes for beer tasting developed at your institute you're working for. I guess Mr. Sacher is still at the institute, is still there, right? Yeah. Very interesting is also that Dietmar Kaltner is actually a hop expert who made in his PhD work Pilsner testing scheme, and is actually now an industry hop expert, which is also very interesting. Cool dude, by the way. Mm-hmm. he's fantastic. Or one of the newest developments is a testing scheme specified on alcohol-free beers. Mm-hmm. So how much do you work on those schemes so that you have this fixed schemes or testing ways, or are developing your own for specific projects?
So I guess the time where we created those schemes or developed those schemes is not over, but it's not the main focus anymore. So mm-hmm. now we basically, like you said, with all the wheat beers or the alcohol-free beers, was a very very much work to develop this, and now it's just there to apply it. So that's what we try to do, not to reinvent ourselves all the time, but we have basically a scheme, a sensory scheme is a tool for us. We have a tool that works, and sometimes, of course, it's necessary to back it up with some light twitches, so where we adjust some things, but still the existing schemes are there. For, or at least if the question is to quantitatively describe an attribute or a property of a product, mm-hmm. so that's what we have. But that's like we said before, with in the analytical pillar of the sensory analysis, that's only one point. So you can either describe, differentiate, or also just evaluate or evaluate the sample.
So you're also then using, it depends on the project, but then triangle tests or whatever. So
absolutely,
you're very flexible on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're adjusting all the tools what the question is, basically.
Okay, so this is what you and your colleagues then are doing in the sensory lab, that you're looking at the project, and then you're like developing its own, maybe backed up by some actual schemes, but then maybe also develop something new, because you say maybe, well, okay, we have in that project, we take this Sacher wheat beer testing scheme, but then back it up with a triangle, a that and that and that. So
absolutely,
you're very individual on that.
I won't say that in the future we won't create any new schemes, but for now I guess most of it is there to use.
Okay.
And ready to use. That's the most thing. And I would rather spend more time in really training the single attributes and that are covered in the scheme than to really do a new one.
Okay. So training, that's by the way, a good thing. Anton is like all the time thinking about it. I know it, also knew it before this podcast. He was like, can I also get this kind of certified, trained?
Yeah, how do you do that? If you're not,
he can show at home at his wife. So I need to do this for work.
Yeah, I'm a professional beer drinker.
Yeah, I need something.
I know that's not on the certificate, but how do you do that? If you wanna be a certified sensory analyst, how do you get trained for that? What's the first step to do?
So if I were you, I would try to get into one of our courses. In the best case, it's the 1 week training where you also get certified after, or you can get if you pass the exam. Because what we do there is we set all the basics once on a theoretical side. So you'll get to know how does human perception work, how do flavors arise in a beer, where do they come from, what's off flavors, and also cover some beer styles. And then on the other hand, we always combine it with tastings. So you'll get to know what's the basic tastes, what are some maybe simple basic aromas, and how can I find them in a complex matrix, for example, beer. How can I differentiate hop aromas, malt aromas, off flavors, of course, and in the end, it all comes down to rating samples in a specific way.
Mm-hmm. I can remember that week for students. You do it as a
practical training,
as exactly. A practical and also theoretical training as a own course. Because mm-hmm. I've done it as a student, as a course. You get, I guess, 3 credit points for it or something like that. And then you can do the additional exam for the certification. Mm-hmm. And I can remember my graduation of that course. It was the theoretical test before, and then the practical, because you need to identify some aromas and also identify some basic
tastes.
Basic tastes like sweet, sour, bitter, whatever. And I had this big problem that I can remember it that I. There was this water sample where it's just water and neutral, and you also had to point out, is this the neutral one and the sweet one? And I had so big difficulties to identify the sweet one was because I was so, I don't know, immune or whatever against this. Or I don't know, I have such a high level on percepting something sweet and not that what should be the threshold. And this was the biggest problem for me at that point. So it's also not just, you know, getting to know the different, like you said, off flavors or wanted flavors. It's also the basic taste. It's a very important thing, right?
Absolutely. So basic tastes are, yeah, kind of the cornerstone maybe for the sensory analysis. You will have to really talk about the same thing or the same perception when we talk about sweetness or bitterness or anything else.
Yeah, that's also because before we started the podcast, I printed out the schedule of our last Weinstephan Brewery partner training we had here. We're doing this university training once a year with some special partners of the Weinstephan Brewery. It's an exclusive course we two developed together, where we're having like this 3-day crash course, where we not all of the content you teach in the whole week training for the students or for external visitors. It's a specific designed course for partners of the Weinstephan Brewery, and I printed out the schedule of it, and especially the day one that you took some serious time just to focus on that basic tastes. Because this is so important, is for you that the people have, you know, the same knowledge, but also are leveled on the same thing, right? It's just a leveling in, right?
Yeah, kind of. So, like you said, we need to talk about the same thing when we talk about sweetness or whatever. And you would be surprised how many people really confuse tastes, maybe, or have high thresholds on different basic tastes, and that's it sounds quite easy. Okay, you just drink a sample of water and tell me if it's sweet or not. But
it's not that easy, believe me.
People struggle a lot, yeah. And
it's eye-opening at some point.
Absolutely, that's what I usually hear the most. Okay, wow, this was just eye-opening and interesting, of course.
And then on the other side, and this was like when I prepared for that podcast, that the other parts of our training were like the theory and the practice in tastes of wheat beers with isoamyl acetate or 4-VG as some specific wheat beer aromas, the cloves, the banana. Then we had also a very intensive session on hop flavors and analyzing hop flavors, but also some off flavors. And then I was like, dude, we need to invite Florian a second or third time just to talk about beer flavors specifically, especially when it comes like how to different the lager aromas and the wheat beer top fermented or bottom fermented aromas. So at that point, I want to invite you to come back to us and do another episode of our podcast, because I think
we could talk about this for hours. So that's,
I guess so. Yeah,
it's probably better to do another episode now.
Sure. Yeah, but I also in that course I've taken as a student, but also here in our brewery partners course. This was so interesting, those specific flavors, to smell them in this little brown bottles where this flavors are very intense, to learn those flavors, but also try right the moment then after this to also to identify that flavors in the matrix of beer, you know, because it's not that single flavor in there. There are a lot of hundreds of flavor compounds in a beer, you know, and this makes it so interesting, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And the deeper you dig in that, the more interesting it gets. So, like you mentioned, those hundreds, some say 1,000 flavor compounds, they all interact with one another. They concurrence about your epithelium. They merge into something else, and of course, the beer style, meaning the beer matrix, what's the sugar levels, what's the protein content, blah, blah, blah. They also play a crucial part in the overall sensory experience, which in the end is your beer.
So is this maybe a private question, is this something when you talk about you talk a lot about flavors? I mean, it's your job. You have to do that. But can you drink beer without analyzing it?
I mean, like on your private time. I know that you're a hiker and going a lot in the mountains, and you like that a lot. I mean, when you're on the top of the mountain and opening your well-deserved mountaintop beer, can you just sit there and enjoy it, and or are you still thinking about, oh, maybe a little bit too unbalanced in the banana? Or
yeah, to be honest, I got a lot more critical in that regard, but still I can sometime enjoy a beer, especially on top of a mountain, but it shouldn't have too much diacetyl, because I'm really sensitive on that one. But like I said, I became a lot more critical, and this analyzing, also testing, and also challenging myself became a lot more present.
Okay, so maybe the first sip is like analytic, and then the other five are enjoyment, right?
German beers, like five sips.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. It depends on the size of the beer you're drinking.
That's
true. It's true, right? Yeah, if you're doing like in five sips a liter, then you're like, well done. Congratulations. I guess after you gave us your promise, you will come back.
I will.
You will. Okay, then I guess we can call it a day for this episode, because we're running out of time. It was absolutely great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Talking about how beer tastes can be so amazing. And also, I hope the people think it's also interesting to see also the scientific part of it behind it, because I guess good beer always comes with analyzing it. It's not just about alcohol and IBUs and color. It's also about sensory analysis, and that this is such a crucial and highly important and significant part and tool for a brewery to keep its
absolutely
quality, taste, and level on that point where we want to have it. And we're very grateful as a brewery, as the Weinstephan Brewery, that we can work with you and your institute to keep that level high. Yeah.
So thank you very much. To you guys at home, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in a few weeks, probably.
Yes, absolutely. Florian, thank you.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.